At the end of this program, we'll let you know how to send your biblical or doctrinal questions to Dave and Tom. This is Search the Scriptures, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. The doctrine of salvation is a critical concept of the Christian faith. Dave and T.A. continue their exposition of this topic now in Understanding the Scriptures. Tom?
Our topic for this segment, Understanding the Scriptures, is the gospel of salvation. And Dave, I think this is wonderful. We're going to be dealing with this not just this week, but for the weeks to come, because it's such an awesome doctrine. All the aspects of it are just so wonderful because it's what Christ has done for us. Last week we talked about the gospel, where it came from. Some say today, well, this was just an idea, a teaching that these people made up who followed Jesus, and it's basically man-made, man-produced. But we know from Scripture that's not true. 1 Peter 1:20, 21 tells us, He, that is Jesus, indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world.
That is, foreordained to be the sacrifice for our sins.
Right.
He's also called the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world.
So, last week we talked about prophets, how that was a testimony, a testament to how the gospel, the word of God, had to be exactly that, had to be His word because of prophecy. These are proofs to that effect. But it's awesome to consider that the gospel of our salvation was in the mind and the heart of God before creation. What we want to do is explore as much about the gospel that we can, and some very basic things. Before humanity was created, it was in the mind and the heart of God. This wasn't something that He was trying to solve. Oops, we made creation. In Genesis it tells us, it is good, it is good, it is very good. And then something went awry, and now He's got a problem on how to figure it out. That's not what the Scriptures testify to.
Right.
The other thing is, what does the gospel do? We want to get into a practical aspect of what God has done for us and how that affects us eternally, temporally. What does the gospel do in terms of our lives?
Well, we quoted last week Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, for by grace are you saved. So it brings me into the grace of God and creates a real gratitude on my part for that God would forgive me, that He would save me. By grace are you saved through faith. And that, it causes me to believe God. Now I'm trusting Him. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So again, I'm very grateful to God because He's given me a gift that I couldn't pay for. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I've been humbled. I've come to realize that there's nothing that I could do. And I'm not trying to please God in order to get to heaven. I'm not trying to prove to God, that sometimes people, when they pray, and we don't really confess our sins, say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that, but it's almost like we're thinking, yeah, but just give me another chance, Lord, and I'll show you that that's not the kind of a guy I am, No, I've been humbled. It's by God's grace and by God's mercy. It's a gift that I couldn't earn. But it says, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I mean, I can remember, oh my goodness, 60 years, coming up 60 years since I opened my heart to Christ. And I can remember like it was yesterday. There was a transformation in my life. I had been, I'm almost ashamed to admit it over the radio, but I was kind of a difficult person. I'd been in at least 1,000 fights, probably more. And this was the summer before I entered high school. I mean, my life was completely changed. I remember when I stood there and let some guy hit me because I just couldn't in my heart. It was my fault. And I couldn't double up my fists and go after him. And the guys that saw that were just absolutely astonished. I remember the night that I was saved, for the first time in my life, I wasn't afraid to die. In fact, I almost wished that I would, so I would meet the Lord that I now loved and I had just met. He'd come into my heart. So when we're born again, there's a transformation that you can't escape with. I have a new hunger for the Word of God and a new understanding of the Word of God and a desire to tell others. It's a complete transformation when we really meet Jesus.
Mm-hmm. We quoted this last week, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe."
Mm-hmm.
And even the believe part of that, I mean, that's another demonstration of God has to be involved. Because if this is something that truly we can't do, God has to do for us,
right,
then even the way in which we receive this has to be so unique that it covers everybody, from the youngest, from those with learning deficiencies, those with brain damage, those... It cuts through all that. All they have to do is believe, and only God could bring that. One of my favorite examples out of the scriptures is the thief on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
What could he do tied to that cross? What could he do?
Nailed to that cross.
The thief was nailed?
Right. I think he was.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's what they did. That's what crucifixion was.
Mm-hmm. But what could he do?
Well, he certainly had nothing to offer to God.
Right.
He didn't even have a life. He couldn't do any good works. But he could receive as a free gift salvation from Jesus Christ. And he apparently understood who Jesus was and that he was dying for his, in his place for his sins.
And what does Jesus say to him? This day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the promise of salvation from the lips of our Lord and Savior right then and there. Absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. This day you will be with me in paradise. The man believed.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's only God could come up with a solution, not just the solution of salvation in Christ, mm-hmm. but the method of receiving mm-hmm. the solution. That to me is miraculous.
Not a word about purgatory, by the way.
Not a word about baptism, by the way.
Or good deeds, or church attendance.
No.
It was...
Or a saying, well, I'm going to do better.
Right.
There's nothing we can do except receive him.
The slate was wiped clean. He was forgiven of his sins because Christ paid that penalty. And we have to come back to that and keep coming back to that. And because we can become very sentimental about the physical sufferings of Christ on the cross. Mm-hmm. But thousands were crucified, suffered on crosses. That wasn't what Jesus wept, by the way, and sweat, as it were, drops of blood in the garden. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands were crucified, and I'm sure a lot of them gritted their teeth. They wouldn't give those Roman soldiers that were pounding those nails into their hands and feet, they wouldn't give them the satisfaction of a whimper. They were going to go down, you know, in defiance. Jesus could bear the physical pain. That wasn't what he was concerned about. It was that he would be made, so the Bible says that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that he would become the very thing that he hated. He would be as though he were sin itself. He would be punished for the sins of the whole world and pay the penalty that his own infinite justice demanded. And that's what his holy soul shrank from. And that's where our salvation comes from. It's through his payment of the penalty. It's not through the physical sufferings that he suffered. And again, we have to get back and hammer at that, because otherwise, God can't be just and forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
Our study of salvation will continue on next week's program. We hope you can be here. You are listening to Search the Scriptures, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you of some great resources we have available to aid you in your study of God's Word. After being out of print for some years, the all-time classic, The Pilgrim Church by E.H. Broadbent, is once again available. The real history of the church and the true faithful is recorded as nowhere else in this monumental work. And don't forget about Dave Hunt's latest book, Y2K, A Reasoned Response to Mass Hysteria, from Harvest House. This timely and well-researched 300-page book offers both challenge and hope. But both time and supplies are running out. In a moment, we'll let you know how to order. If you would like an audio cassette or CD of this broadcast, ask for program number 0529. Be sure and join us again for next week's broadcast as Dave and Tom complete their series on the seduction of Christianity, including some reader responses. We'll take a look at how the New Age has made inroads into mainstream Christianity in the UK, and we'll continue our exploration of the biblical doctrine of salvation. I'm Gary Carmichael. For Dave Hunt, T.A. McMahon, and everyone at the Berean Call, I thank you for spending this hour with us, and we hope you can be here again next week. Till then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. Join us again next week for Search the Scriptures, featuring Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.